Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel. Science and technology. Brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku.
At GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And today we're talking about outer space. With us is distinguished university professor Chris Impe of the University of Arizona, author of a number of great books, including Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes, and also Beyond Our Future in Space. And he's the author of a forthcoming book called Worlds Without End, about exoplanets. So we'll be talking about the Mars helicopter. We'll be talking about SpaceX and the plan to go back to the moon. We'll be talking about the Webb Space Telescope. And we'll talk about Oumuamua. Were we visited by an extraterrestrial object a few years ago that sailed through our solar system? But before we move on, let me make a short announcement. And that is, I'd like to thank those people out there who purchased a copy of my latest book. My latest book is called God's Equation, and that is The Quest for a Theory of Everything. And it now is a New York Times bestseller. That's right, just last week it hit the New York Times bestseller list, also the Amazon bestseller list for the United States and the United Kingdom. So briefly, what is it all about, God's Equation? Well, when I was eight years old, something happened which changed my life completely. And that is, a great scientist had just died, and all the newspapers published a simple picture, a picture of his desk with an open book, and the caption said, "This is the unfinished manuscript of the greatest scientist of our time." Well, I was mesmerized by that story. I said to myself, why couldn't he finish that book? It's a homework assignment, right? Why didn't he ask his mother? Well, over the years, I went to the library. I had to know what was so hard that a great man couldn't finish it. I found out this man's name was Albert Einstein. And that book was to be The Theory of Everything, an equation perhaps no more than 1 inch long that would allow us to, quote, read the mind of God. Well, I was hooked. I had to get a copy. I had to find out what was in that book. Well, today I can read that book. It is Einstein's Unified Field Theory, a lot of dead ends, a lot of frustration, and of course, it ultimately failed. But, you know, people have been fascinated by this concept of a unifying principle for thousands of years. 2,000 years ago, the great mathematician Pythagoras realized that perhaps music was the paradigm that could unify the entire universe. He saw a lyre string, and he plucked it. The longer the string, the lower the note. And then he went by a blacksmith shop. The longer the sword, and you hit the sword, the lower the sound. And then he said, aha, mathematics, the mathematics of resonances. I can work out the complete theory of music, which he did. Octaves, thirds, fifths, chords, all of that, A sharp, B flat, all of that stuff coming out of the mathematics of Pythagoras. And then he made this stunning statement. Music is rich enough to explain the vast diversity of the universe itself. Well, that idea never went anywhere because, well, the Roman Empire fell. For 1,000 years, we were plunged into sorcery, witchcraft, and magic. And now the theory is coming back again in a different form. It's called string theory. If you watch the Big Bang Theory on television, you know that Sheldon works on string theory, which is what I do. I'm the co-founder of string field theory, one of the main branches of string theory. And string theory simply says that an electron is not really a dot particle at all. If you had a super microscope, you could see that it is actually a rubber band. And if you twang it, it changes frequencies. In other words, it changes identity from an electron to a neutrino. You twang it again, it turns into a quark. You twang it again, it turns into a meson. And if you twang it enough times, you get all the subatomic particles that we have cataloged tediously over the last several decades. So what is physics? Physics is the harmonies you can write on these strings. What is chemistry? Chemistry is the melodies you can play on these vibrating strings. What is the universe? The universe is a symphony of vibrating strings. And then what is the mind of God that Albert Einstein spent 30 years of his life writing about and chasing after? The mind of God, we think, would be cosmic music. Cosmic music resonating through hyperspace. Well, if you want to find out more about this theory, a theory so controversial that it has split Nobel Prize winners against each other. That's right. Physicists have taken opposite points of view concerning this theory, string theory, which we think may be the theory of everything. Well, let's get back down to Earth, or more precisely, Mars. With us today is Chris Empey, author of a number of great books. He's a university professor at the University of Arizona. Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes, and Beyond Our Future in Space. And so, Chris, let me ask you a question. The Mars Ingenuity helicopter, did it really make history? What's the significance of the first powered flight on another planet? What's the significance?
I mean, it seemed like a modest little flight, you know, just hovered for about 30 seconds. What's the big deal? But, you know, 1903, the Wright brothers and their flyer, that was the first powered flight on our planet, and another century later, we have the first powered flight on another planet. So it was a demonstration of a concept, and in the future, of course, those flights can get more ambitious. And these little rovers, they can't go everywhere, and they go quite slowly. So if you suddenly can use drones or helicopters to roam over a planet, that gives you an enormous scope.
Now, let's take a look at the terrain of Mars. We have the polar ice caps. We have gigantic volcanoes, huge craters. And can they be surveyed by rovers, or do we really need a drone to give us detailed photographs of the polar ice caps, volcanoes, chasms, valleys? What are your thoughts?
Sure. We have a reconnaissance orbiter that's been working for years, and it does a great job. It's actually surveyed the whole of Mars to about the size of your sofa, a meter scale resolution. But these drones can go to the most interesting places. For instance, if we think there's still water on Mars underground, but maybe not far underground, in aquifers, then these drones could use tracing, you know, clues on the surface to home in on places where there might be water even now. And that would be incredibly exciting.
And also, isn't it true that these drones would be ideal to figure out new landing sites for a manned mission to Mars, and also a place to maybe have a permanent Mars base looking far into the future? Again, what are your thoughts?
Sure. You want it, when you go to the work and enormous expense of putting humans on Mars, you've got to get them in the right place, because they're just going to have to, you know, deal with their terrain. And so, yes, for scouting out a location like that, it's important. And also for sample return, for bringing back samples, which we hope to do in the mid-2030s, these drones will pick the best places to bring back rocks. Again, rovers, just you can only explore so far with a rover. And then, of course, we're thinking of sending these kind of drone helicopter technologies to Titan, a moon of Saturn. And so people are getting excited about maybe using the same technology in the outer solar system.
And also, one day people want to create a permanent base on Mars and perhaps even create agriculture, a self-sustaining colony. You would have to, of course, genetically modify algae, for example, to survive on Mars. But if you want to create a city, which is what Elon Musk has been talking about, sending a million settlers to the red planet, don't you really need scores of these drones surveying the entire planet? Well, let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, let's talk about the future of Mars exploration. What happens when we go back to the red planet sometime after 2030? And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to get on 100 radio stations, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters at the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on national radio. Give us a call.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Or... Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Professor Chris Empey, professor of astronomy at the University of Arizona, the author of a number of great books, including Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes, and Beyond Our Future in Space. And we are talking about the solar system. We're talking about the fact that, yes, the Mars rovers have now given way to Mars helicopters that can one day roam over the surface of Mars, giving us detailed photographs of some of the greatest places that we've never been to on the red planet. For example, the polar ice caps. If there is life, microbial life on Mars, some people think maybe it's frozen for millions of years. But of course, the rovers can't go to the ice caps, right? So aren't there interesting areas, caves, impact craters, volcanoes, and the polar ice caps, very interesting places where you might find traces of life, but rovers can't go there, right?
That's right. And then you talked about reconnaissance for humans living on Mars, and there are some remarkable, both on the moon and Mars, there are lava tubes underground, but with, you know, not very far underground, with enormous volumes protected from, you know, cosmic rays and impacts. And so you know, the drones could help locate geological structures which might actually form an underground habitat without a huge amount of work.
Now, you also mentioned rock retrieval. The Mars rovers, of course, will sample rocks and store it for the next mission, which will then land on Mars, perhaps, and bring back those rocks. But some people say, don't we already have Mars rocks on the Earth in the form of meteorites that were blasted out of Mars that then landed on the Earth? Don't we already have Mars rocks on the Earth?
Yeah, it's true, and it's a good point. There's, I think, over 100 Martian meteorites that have been identified, mostly in Antarctica. But they have a huge problem. The huge problem is that you don't know where on Mars they came from. You don't know their geological provenance. And it turns out that almost all of them are igneous, or volcanic rocks that have been heavily altered. These rovers have been sent to places where there are sedimentary rocks, where we think there was water on the surface. So really, to bring back rocks and understand life on Mars in the past, you need to pick your locations very carefully. And the Martian meteorites, unfortunately, haven't helped us with that.
Okay, now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the moon. Because SpaceX got this multi-billion dollar contract with NASA to build the lunar lander. So this is now gelling. We have booster rockets like the SLS built by Boeing, and now SpaceX gets this contract to build a lunar lander. So do you think, therefore, by 2024 at the earliest, we could be opening up a new chapter in space exploration, that is, we're going to go back to the moon and perhaps at a cheaper price than the original Apollo space program? What are your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I think I read recently that the current equivalent cost of the Apollo landings is about $280 billion. It's a lot of money. You know, in the 1960s, we sort of spent a lot. NASA was at like at 5% of the budget of the U.S. government at that point. So SpaceX is doing things cheaper. You know, $3 billion for what it's going to do is actually a pretty good deal. And also it connects to the Mars story because, remember, the lander they're building is going to be taken to the moon by their Starship. And their Starship was built to go to Mars. So for Elon Musk, who's playing the long game, going to the moon and going with NASA in partnership is just a stepping stone on the way to going to Mars with his big Starship.
Now, the dinosaurs did not have a space program, so that's why they're not here today, because they couldn't dodge that asteroid or comet that slammed into the Yucatan of Mexico 65 million years ago. So do you think, therefore, that Elon Musk is onto something, that we have to become a multi-planet species, that we need an insurance policy? And so going to the moon and then onto Mars, we're basically carving out a potential future of humanity. But what are your thoughts?
I agree. That's his motto and his goal. He said he wants to die on Mars, and I don't know if we should question that. He's a little crazy, but he's also brilliant. I think, unfortunately, though, for us to move to Mars en masse, it's just really impractical, and it's not going to happen. So it's more in the nature of exploration and putting a new offshoot of humanity onto a distant world. I don't think we can escape the Earth. Luckily, NASA has plans, of course, if an asteroid was headed our way. They have the technology to steer it away from hitting the Earth. So we can actually protect the Earth from that kind of a threat.
Now, also, let me ask you a few questions about space tourism. Blue Origins, sponsored by the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, is now undergoing final tests to have tourists go into the edge of space with his Alan Shepard rocket. And then, of course, we have Richard Branson with Spaceship Two, which is already ready to go. So we have two rocket ships ready for space tourism, not to mention that SpaceX is selling tickets to go to the moon. This is a Japanese billionaire who actually bought out the rocket, and so he definitely wants to be the first tourist to go all the way to the moon. So do you think, therefore, that we're entering a new era of space exploration? Prices are dropping. Entrepreneurs are jumping into the picture. New visions are now being emerged. Do you think, therefore, we're entering a new era in space exploration?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the activity you see and the headlines you see, it's almost a crescendo. And it's driven by this intense competition. I mean, you mentioned the competition between Blue Origins and the Virgin Galactic. So, and it's also interesting aside that while Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world, guess who's the second richest man in the world? Elon Musk. So these are pretty deep pockets. And yeah, it's very competitive. Blue Origin's claims they're going to have a $200,000 price tag on their suborbital flight. Virgin Galactic, it's $250,000. They're both going to have, paying customers in 2 years. That's going to be intense, but that's suborbital. SpaceX is going for the whole thing. You know, they're going for orbital flight, going to the moon, going to Mars, and so is Blue Origin. That is a very direct competition. Blue Origin does have a rocket that can go into orbit. They do have rockets that could get to the moon. So Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are going to be duking it out for the next decade.
And speaking about competition, isn't it true that we had not one, not two, but three probes that recently reached Mars from China, the United States, and the United Arab Emirates? And so in some sense, we could have a traffic jam around the moon and around Mars. But what are your thoughts? Does it mean, therefore, that prices are dropping, that even a small country like United Arab Emirates can send a probe all the way to Mars? India has already done it. So isn't this a new ball game?
It is. There are new players in the game. I mean, for decades, it was just the United States and the former Soviet Union. China, of course, is a huge player now. They're planning their own moon base without cooperating with anyone else. They're planning their own space station, and they have huge ambitions. And then, as you say, we've got India, Emirates, Brazil has a very vigorous space program. So it's heating up both at the government level, but I think a lot of the innovation is sort of happening in the private sector.
Okay, now you also mentioned Titan, a moon of Saturn. Some people say that maybe Europa may be the next target beyond Mars. It has an ocean under the ice cover, and who knows, maybe aquatic life that could exist. But what are your thoughts about now going beyond the terrestrial planets and going to the gas giants, where we have moons that have oceans underneath the ice cover?
Sure, that's a very exciting prospect, but we also have to take a deep breath because, you know, Mars is of order 100 million miles away, and the outer planets are billions of miles away. So these are long timelines of a decade to get something out there. So the Europa Clipper, which is funded, plans to launch in 2024, would get to Europa in about 2030. But it's not going to land. It's just going to do orbits and then go to Callisto and then end up in orbit around Ganymede, which we think has subsurface oceans. But there's a lander, a different program that is on the plan of NASA, but it's unfunded, and that would go 3 years later. And that would be exciting because that would actually look for biosignatures or hints that there might be life in the European Ocean.
Now, some people notice that Titan seems to have an atmosphere that contains ethane and methane, which, of course, are combustible if you have oxygen. That's why the moon doesn't vaporize, because there's no oxygen there. But some people think that, well, wouldn't that be great for a gas station, a refueling station, Titan? You're running out of fuel, you land on Titan and load up on methane, and then blast off wherever you're going. So is that realistic, that we can have a gas station in outer space?
Sure. We need gas stations in outer space. I mean, we need to be able to take, like, moon rocks and Mars rocks and break them down to get oxygen.
Okay, Chris, we got to take another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue discussion with Professor Chris Empey, and we're talking about the solar system and perhaps a new age in space exploration. You are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Ask that question. Make that comment, and perhaps your thoughts will be heard on 100 radio stations and the Internet and all the Internet outlets that carry Science Fantastic. Stay tuned.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden spoke again during his virtual climate summit. He told 40 world leaders that more jobs are coming soon.
For automotive workers, building electric cars, trucks, and buses. Skilled workers installing in charging stations to accommodate them throughout our countries.
Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says the administration's climate plan will reduce jobs, not increase them. Biden said he's looking forward to working with Russian President Vladimir Putin, who said his nation is interested in galvanizing international cooperation on climate change. British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell has pleaded not guilty to new sex trafficking charges filed last month related to allegations that she procured underage girls for Jeffrey Epstein. If convicted, she faces up to 35 years in prison. This is USA Radio News. A panel of health experts have agreed it's time to lift the pause on the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. The health panel, serving as advisors to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, say the benefits of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine outweigh the serious but very small risk. The FDA and the CDC chose to pause the vaccine after several women developed serious and, in three cases, deadly blood clots. At that time, nearly 8 million people had received the single-dose vaccine. The advisory panel voted 10-4 with only one abstention to recommend lifting the pause for people 18 and over. The CDC has also announced it's now recommending that pregnant women get the COVID-19 vaccinations. Director Rochelle Walensky said a new study found no safety concerns with women using the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines given during the third trimester. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is distinguished Professor Chris Empey of the University of Arizona, author of a number of great books, including Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes, and Beyond Our Future in Space. And as I mentioned, my latest book, The God Equation, just hit the New York Times bestseller list. Thank you so much for those of you that supported Science Fantastic and my work. And it's about a controversial theory, string theory, a theory which claims to be the theory of everything. Now, two weeks ago at Fermilab outside Chicago, there was stunning news which shook the world of modern physics, that the Standard Model, a model of subatomic particles that held sway for 50 years, has a crack. There could be a deviation from that theory. Now, you have to realize that The Saturn model is the highest version of the quantum theory, but it is perhaps the ugliest theory known to modern science. It has 36 quarks and antiquarks, it has 3 identical generations of particles, and it has 20 free parameters that you can adjust at will. It's like taking an aardvark, a platypus, and a whale, scotch taping it together, and declaring that to be God's greatest evolutionary creation. Well, nobody, even the creators of the Saturn model, believe that's the final theory. But there was no crack in the standard model for 50 years until 2 weeks ago. A subatomic particle called the muon, which should be just like the electron except heavier, now has a magnetic moment that seems to deviate from predictions. What does it mean? Well, we have 4 forces of the universe: electromagnetism, gravity, and the 2 nuclear forces. There could be a 5th force, a new force of nature emerging out of Fermilab and also the Large Hadron Collider outside Geneva, Switzerland. If that's true, could it be the next octave of the string? We are the lowest octave of vibrating strings. All of Einstein's theory plus a standard model is contained within the lowest octave of the string. If Einstein had never been born, believe it or not, we would have discovered general relativity as nothing but some of the lowest vibrations of a vibrating string. So, is this a sign that we're now converging on a theory of everything? Well, find out. Get a copy of my latest book, The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything, now in your bookstores and now on the bestseller list. Well, once again, today we have with us Professor Chris Empey, a distinguished professor at the University of Arizona, author of several great books, including Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes, and Beyond Our Future in Space, and a forthcoming book, Worlds Without End. And so, Chris, are we talking about the fact that once we get to Mars, build a Mars settlement, perhaps the next goal will be the Jovian and the Saturnian system, that is, moons way out there that may have liquid oceans, may have fuel like methane and ethane? What are your thoughts?
Sure. Exploring the outer solar system, it's hard. It takes a long time. It's expensive, but it is the next logical goal. Mars is much closer and a little bit easier. And it may not be to live there necessarily. These are pretty hostile environments. But there's a real prospect that there could be microbial life on a number of the icy moons in the outer solar system. You know, moons of Jupiter, Saturn, even Uranus and Neptune, much further out. So Europa is a compelling target, of course. It's a water world covered with ice. Titan, even though it's ethane and methane, as we talked about, biochemists don't rule out the possibility of some bizarre and weird form of biochemistry on Titan.
Okay, Chris, we have to take yet another short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of the solar system, the Webb telescope, and also, what is that Oumuamua object that sailed through the solar system? Was that a signature of extraterrestrial life? Find out. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio and 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Stay tuned.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one business book in the world. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, two-time national best-selling author and owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold firm in the country. We help investors put physical metals inside their IRAs. My first book, Gold is a Better Way, sparked a movement. My new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one book in the country. I believe every investor should own physical metals. It's why I'm giving away my best-selling book to anyone with an IRA with over $100,000 for free. Call 800-900-8000 to get the bestseller, The Great Devaluation, sent directly to your door. That's 800-900-8000. The new decision is now obvious. Don't you deserve to do it with the best? Call 800-900-8000 for your free book today. That's 800-900-8000.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Distinguished Professor of Astronomy, Chris Empe of the University of Arizona, author of a number of great books, including Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes, and Beyond, Our Future in Space. And we are talking about the solar system, our backyard. Well, many scientists and astronomers are looking forward to the launch of the Webb Space Telescope. It's supposed to be the successor to the Hubble Space Telescope, which was the workhorse of astronomy for so many years, and now a replacement, the Webb Telescope. So tell us, what do we expect to find with the Webb Telescope, and will we be able to photograph other planets orbiting other stars in the galaxy?
Well, that's one of the big goals of the space telescope at the Webb. Remember, it's big. It's 6.5 meters compared to the Hubble's just over 2 meters. So it's much more collecting area. It's very far from the Earth, a million miles from the Earth in a very dark and quiet location. So better for astronomy, actually, than low Earth orbit. And it works more in the infrared than the Hubble Space Telescope does. But yes, it has a very clever coronagraph, an instrument designed to block out the light from a star, to a factor of almost a billion, allowing you to see the very feeble reflected light of a planet orbiting a faraway star. And that may be the first way we can inspect terrestrial planets beyond our solar system.
And by the way, we've analyzed over 4,000 extrasolar planets, complements of the Kepler mission and other ground-based telescopes. And the question is, have we found a doppelganger, a twin? Among the 4,000 planets that we've looked so far, have we found the twin of the Earth that looks just like the Earth in terms of size, distance from the mother star, perhaps with the ability to carry, to have oxygen and water? Are we there yet, or we're still looking?
We actually do have a handful that are like that, doppelgangers, within 20% of the size or mass of the Earth and at the Earth distance from a sun-like star. But actually, because there are far more red dwarf stars, cool, low-mass stars, than stars like the Sun, there are dozens of Earth doppelgangers that just happen to be orbiting a dwarf star, much closer to the star, so they're still in the habitable zone. So we do have dozens of sort of Earth cousins, if you like, if not exact Earth clones.
Now, I understand that the red dwarf stars, even though they're plentiful, may be, quote, unstable. So solar flares, titanic solar flares erupt from the surface, and that would be very bad if you were a planet being whipped by solar flares from the mother star, right?
Yes, and also the planets are tidally locked. They're sort of grabbed by the gravity of the dwarf because they're so close to it. So one side is always facing the dwarf. So that side is just going to be in a very unpleasant situation. But maybe around the edge or on the far side, it's more habitable. So there's a big debate about whether planets around Earth-like planets around dwarf stars are habitable. And I think some consensus is emerging that maybe super-Earths, or planets slightly larger than the Earth, can hold thick atmospheres that can protect them from some of these problems with their star. They may be as habitable as Earth-like planets.
Okay, and also a few weeks ago on Science Fantastic, we had the former chairman of the astronomy department at Harvard University, Professor Avi Loeb, and he wrote a book about extraterrestrials, claiming that this object that sailed through the solar system in 2017 could be an object that was designed by an alien civilization, and then it sailed through our solar system. Well, it's controversial, but what are your thoughts? What do most scientists think about this object? Was it artificial, or was it simply a piece of space debris that sailed through our solar system in 2017?
Yeah, this is an interesting debate. You mentioned Nobel Prize winners falling out over string theory. Well, this has been a pretty argumentative thing, and Loeb is a very smart guy, a great cosmologist. And his book is provocative. He argues very strongly that it's an alien artifact. And he even scolds astronomers for not taking seriously or thinking outside the box on this, on extraterrestrial life. But the community, as a consensus, seems to think it has a natural explanation. Basically, it looks like, based on work from astronomers up the road at ASU, that it's a chip off a faraway planet belonging to another star, an icy object that collided and then sent it careening into space.
Okay, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters at the radio station or website you're listening to and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on Science Fantastic. So, give us a call and ask that question that you've always wanted to ask.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here
on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Oh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Boys, it is a beautiful wedding.
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the group?
Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Chris Impe, author of a number of great books, including Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes, and Beyond, Our Future in Space. And now we're talking about, well, aliens from outer space. Have we been visited by a strange object that sailed through our solar system back in 2017, and its trajectory was not normal, indicating that perhaps it was piloted? Well, you can imagine the controversy that arose, but the man who published a book was on the airwaves on our program, and he's the former chairman of the astronomy department at Harvard University. So, Chris, what are your thoughts? After everything is said and done, do you think it may be a piece of debris from another planet far away?
That's the more conventional explanation. Maybe it sounds a little dull, but that's actually quite exciting that a Pluto-sized object colliding in a faraway star system could send a chunk of rock into our solar system. It's basically an iceberg. It's a very icy rock. And it probably started off roundish, but as it traveled through space, it was carved away by cosmic rays. You sort of imagine a bar of soap in the shower that eventually ends up like a sliver. And that's what we see, this very elongated object. So I think there's a natural explanation for it that doesn't involve an alien artifact.
Well, his argument was that the path taken by this object was not a normal path, that it seemed to speed up, which is typical of comets. Comets do that because they eject gas. But there was no tail. There was no tail to this, so it could not have been a comet, but its trajectory deviated from Newton's laws of motion unless it was ejecting something. So, well, what are your thoughts? How do you explain the fact that its orbit was rather erratic, which indicates that maybe it was piloted?
Well, it definitely came from outside the solar system, even in this more conventional explanation. And as far as its unusual trajectory and speeding up, the conventional explanation has an answer for that, too, which is the idea that there was hydrogen ice as part of the ice in this object, not just water ice or carbon dioxide ice. And that has a very low freezing point. And so light from the sun would essentially accelerate, would push on that object because it's very reflective, it's very shiny. And so it is acting a bit like a solar sail. So some of Loeb's ideas are embedded or embodied in the more conventional explanation as well.
And also, he coined a new word for the English language, archaeoastronomy, which is a contradiction in terms, if you think about it, unless you think that maybe alien civilizations have, like, notes in a bottle, that people put notes in a bottle and throw it into the ocean, and maybe we will pick up debris. We'll pick up debris shed by a civilization in outer space, basically a note in a bottle, and we should look for them. He says that we should even have satellites that detect the presence of debris from intelligent civilizations in space. Well, what are your thoughts?
Well, of course, we've done this, too. We've sent 4 space probes beyond the solar system. The Pioneer and the Voyager spacecraft contain messages from the earth and images and music encoded on a long playing record, if you can imagine that. That's very high tech. And they're sent out into space, and it'll float around, and maybe tens of millennia they'll get to another star system. So we put our messages in a bottle out there, too. So, yeah, maybe it's conceivable aliens would do the same thing in our direction.
And speaking of aliens, I have to ask you this question. The United States Navy just a few weeks ago released another set of videotapes of a UFO-like object. And at the University of Albany, physicists have looked at these photographs and videotapes frame by frame. And they say these objects travel between Mach 5 and Mach 20, which is outside the range of most conventional aircraft. So either they are secret weapons being devised by the superpowers, or maybe they're extraterrestrial. But, well, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, some of the new released footage and the Navy stuff and the government stuff, that it's intriguing because it's higher quality data than the sort of a person seeing a UFO on their porch at night, maybe having a few beers beforehand and take a picture with their cell phone. This is better data. And yes, the movement, sometimes there are very rapid changes in motion, you know, right angle turns that seem unphysical. So there's something to explain there. And it's undoubtedly true that the military have technologies or aircraft or capabilities that they're not necessarily going to talk about. So that's still a better explanation than aliens to me.
Now, hypersonic drones are being experimented with by the Chinese, the Russians, and the United States. They, too, can travel between Mach 5 and Mach 20, and they zigzag. In fact, that's why nations build them. Precisely because they can zigzag, they can evade a Star Wars defensive shield. That's why the Russians, the last March, boasted of the fact that it has perfected a hypersonic drone vehicle that can attain Mach 20. So do you think, therefore, that it may be a hypersonic drone? However, I caution you, these hypersonic drones create a sonic boom. Some of these UFO sightings apparently do not have a sonic boom, which seems to violate the ordinary laws of physics. But what are your thoughts? Could it be a hypersonic drone that we've been seeing darting through the skies?
It's still the most plausible explanation. And again, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that technologies could be developed to mitigate a sonic boom, if not eradicate it totally. So, and that would be part of the goal of having such a device, because you don't want to betray its existence to a potential enemy. So I think the military do have capabilities that don't routinely get into the public domain, and we may be just seeing them now.
And also the Arecibo Radio Telescope, the telescope that was profiled in many movies about aliens. Well, that radio telescope crashed. And what's been the replacement for? What's been the talk of filling up the gap, given the fact that that was one of the workhorses being used to probe radio galaxies and also signs of intelligence? Well, 10 seconds. What are your thoughts about whether or not we can replace the Arecibo radio telescope?
I think it had great capabilities and we should replace it. Remember, the Chinese have a 500-meter telescope that does similar work as well.
Okay. Well, you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest was Chris Empage, Distinguished Professor of Astronomy at the University of Arizona. And his books include Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes, and Beyond Our Future in Space. And also, we want to pick up the latest copy of my book. I have a new book out, The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. Once again, this is Dr. Michio Kaku for Science Fantastic. Join us every week on Science Fantastic when we talk about the cutting edge of science and technology.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.